Mercy, a foundation to our faith. It's unmerited, unwarranted, undeserved, and still it's the foundation of our faith. How does mercy shape us? How do we become so permeated by mercy that it becomes our natural disposition toward the world? Welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello, church, and welcome back to Common Prayer. It is, get this, Friday, May 1st. I'll be honest, I was a bit caught off guard when I was getting ready for this and realized that the calendar had flipped over to May. I mean, again, this is like almost stunning to me to think about how long we have been in this shelter in place. Gosh, honestly, if my memory serves, this was like mid-March, I believe, is when all of this stuff started, and to flip the calendar to May just seems both kind of unreal as well as like, where did the time go? Like there's this sense of that we've been in this shelter in place for what feels like forever, but yet at the same time, like, whoa, it's May. Like things have been moving progressively quicker. And so, gosh, it's good to have been doing this. This is the 35th episode of Common Prayer, the 35th time that we've gathered in different spaces and in different places to pray together and to be connected through this podcast. And so again, thank you for tuning in, for listening. It has been, again, such a joy for me to put these together. And I know for those involved as well, from Brandon to Kathy to Savannah doing some work too. Man, we're just grateful for you guys listening in. Such a joy to be able to do this. And it ministers to us as well, as I hope it's finding and helpful for you in the way that you are engaging with God in this time. You know, as we continue to prayerfully work our way through the Beatitudes, you know, I can't help but think again about the, you know, the manner in which Jesus just seems to continually reverse these social norms of both his world and our world, right? In everything that Jesus lays out in these Beatitudes, there's this deep sense of paradox. And it's really this sort of paradox that is right at the heart of all that Jesus is doing, right? Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful. There is this deep sort of paradox as he places the kingdom of God in contrast to the way we understand the world and how it operates. And today Jesus continues to drive into this paradox. And the paradox for today really rests on this idea of an internal transformation that results kind of naturally or as the outflow into our external posture towards the world. And what's fascinating about this, and what Kathy really set up well earlier this week, is that, you know, all of this paradox that Jesus is doing is about transforming the inward life that ultimately leads to a transformation of the external posture. Right? It's as our inner dispositions are transformed, we are free from the constraints that we place on ourselves, that sin holds on us, all these sorts of things, that Jesus is after this internal work, this internal transformation. And at the same time, these, when they have worked their way through, and even in the process of them working their way through, radically changes the way in which we engage the world around us. There's a work that's happening within us that demands a reordering of the way we encounter and live within the world outside of us. The two, the internal and the external, are so intimately intertwined, but that you almost cannot separate them. I think again of Jesus' words when confronted about what's the greatest commandment. He says, love God and love others. There's this intimate connection between the internal work that the Holy Spirit is doing within us and the way in which that flows out of us into the way we love the world. And again, this proves true today. Today we're in Matthew 5, verse 7, where it says this, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now here's the paradox in Jesus' words. See, by definition, mercy or forgiveness is unearned, undeserved, and not owed. And the reality is, if it's not any of those three things, unearned, undeserved, and not owed, then what you are experiencing is no longer mercy or forgiveness. I mean, consider this for a second. If in any way you attempt to show mercy to others as a means of gaining mercy from God, you are no longer experiencing mercy, because mercy is an unmerited and unearned by its very nature. And so as we consider that unmerited nature of mercy, we have to begin to think, like, what does Jesus mean then when he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy? Right? Because if you read this in a way where Jesus is decreeing an obligation on you to show mercy, and then you will be given mercy by God, then that doesn't really make sense, because we cannot gain mercy. Mercy is by its nature something given unmerited. And so rather, I think what Jesus is saying here is that it is the invitation to open up the deepest parts of who you are to the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus. And it's in that it reorients the totality of who we are, to see that mercy begins to simply flow out of us. You see, if we are to experience and if we are to give mercy, this can only happen as a result of one who has experienced mercy. And so the invitation here for Jesus is to do just that. It is to experience mercy in a manner in which mercy begins to flow out of you. You know, one author I read that was talking about this writes this. He says, "We do not attain anything by our own holiness, but by 10,000 surrenders to mercy. A lifetime of received forgiveness allows you to become mercy." That's the beatitude. You become forgiveness because it's the only thing that makes sense to you. It's the only thing that is alive within you. I love that, because that fundamentally, mercy is this opening up to 10,000 surrenders to mercy. For us to become merciful, we must first experience the mercy of God. And it is to experience the mercy of God that we simply open up our lives to the work and the flood of mercy over us. See, the merciful are blessed, and not because of what they've accomplished, not because of how they've opened themselves up, or not because of the way that they have shown mercy to others, but because their life has been so deeply shaped and formed by 10,000 surrenders that they've allowed the mercy of God to permeate their internal disposition towards everyone. So Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who show mercy, for they will be shown mercy. It is this cycle of receiving mercy and giving mercy, not out of obligation, but because the natural flow of mercy is to then move beyond us. So as we begin our prayer practice for today, I want us to explore this concept of mercy, this idea of opening our lives up to 10,000 surrenders of mercy. So what I'm going to do is I'll guide us through a little bit of a meditation, allowing the Holy Spirit to maybe work within our hearts to open our eyes to the ways in which we've been shown mercy. Then I'm going to close with a prayer that I've kind of cut and pasted a few different parts of from a few different prayer books that I use into a written prayer for us today. So let's begin. As you settle down, as you focus, as you bring your mind's eye towards God and your heart to the moment, I invite you to slow down and to use a prayer called the Kyrie that's been prayed for centuries by followers of Jesus, and it simply just goes like this. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Maybe use that as a breath prayer as we begin. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Spend a few more moments, maybe just reciting that to the cadence of your breath, and invite the Holy Spirit to be present with you. Now I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to highlight the ways in which God's mercy has been poured out lavishly on you. Maybe it's the mercy of a new day, a new morning. Maybe it's the mercy of the sun coming up again. Maybe it's a mercy for the mistakes you've made, the regrets you have. Allow the Holy Spirit to highlight the ways in which God has given you forgiveness and mercy so freely. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Be merciful to me, a sinner. This I am by nature and practice. This your word proclaims me to be. This I hope I feel myself to be. Yet you have not left me to despair, for there is no uncertainty in your grace. I have all the assurance I need that with you abundant is redemption. Almighty God, my Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault in thought and word and deed, in what I have done and in what I have left undone. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me all of my offenses and grant that I may serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your name. I invite you to sit for just another moment in the mercy of God, recognizing the ways in which He has flooded you with mercy. Breathe deep in His forgiveness. Rest in the assurance of His love and forgiveness. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Well, thanks for listening today. Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. It's hosted by our Generations pastor, Kevin Sneed, with original music by Brandon Passion. Be sure to check back daily for more episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening.